streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of The Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it is a Friday on the eve of the last 4-game weekend of the NFL season. It's The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. 1 hour from now, the Blazing Four. I only really like one game. I'm only going to put my money on one game. The Blazing Four this weekend. Joy Taylor is joining me.
That was a very dramatic open.
After this weekend, the whole season, 3 games, 2 days, football season's over. Mm-hmm. This is the last big collective weekend. And then 3 games left, 2 days.
What a season it's been.
It has. So years ago, my first job out of college was Las Vegas. I worked for the NBC affiliate. I did an inning of play-by-play with the Las Vegas Stars. They're now named the Las Vegas 51s for Area 51, the UFOs. Funny name. And I was very lucky. The Mob was still in Vegas. The late Jerry Tarkanian and the Rebels were the number one college basketball odyssey in the country. And Mike Tyson was emerging as a controversial, polarizing superstar in boxing. And there was nothing like Tyson fights. I was nervous. I don't get nervous going to games. I'd be nervous. He would knock people out in the first round, but you never knew what you were getting. Did he train? Was he in good shape? Did he have good corner people? It was all over the map. And I think about that because you never knew what you were going to get. And when Patrick Mahomes came into this league and emerged as a superstar with Andy Reid, they didn't do everything well, but they had the league's best knockout punch, the league's best fastball. At their best, they were easily the best. And what makes it difficult this weekend on the fourth and final game that will be played, Buffalo at Kansas City, is Buffalo has actually surpassed Kansas City as the best knockout punch in the league. 10 times this year. 10 times. they beat teams in the NFL, this is not college football, by over two touchdowns. Green Bay, number one seed in the NFC, did it five times. Kansas City, five times. In fact, not only does Buffalo knock people out, they knock Kansas City out by 18 points. Two times this year, the Bills shut teams out. There were only eight shutouts in the league this year. They have a quarter of them. The Bills went into Kansas City, and Josh Allen was jumping over people, and they were dominating and unstoppable. So that's why I have said the Bills, it's hard to get my arms around them. They are Mike Tyson. I could see Josh Allen going crazy at Arrowhead, jumping over people, throwing the ball around the yard. Kansas City gets in a hole. They've got a good pass rush, and it gets ugly. I could see that. I don't expect it, but I could see it. Because I've never seen Bill Belichick in 20 years not have an answer for a player. He has no answer for Josh Allen. The last two times they've played, he has done virtually anything he's wanted to against Belichick. That's not the way it works. Belichick eventually has an answer for everybody. I mean, he's 2-2 against Mahomes, and Patrick has his way, but Patrick Mahomes has had bad halves. But the last two times I've watched Belichick against Josh Allen, it's not competitive. He does whatever he wants, mostly, even when Belichick has the right defense in at the goal line. And what you hope with Josh Allen is there's the good Josh Allen and the bad Josh Allen. Because every game they won this year, they won by over 10 points. It's very Tyson. Mike either knocked you out, or if there was strategy involved, you beat Mike. Evander Holyfield, Lennox Lewis. If it got into strategy, then you beat Mike. But if it got into a brawl, it was over, and it was often over very early. What you hope for is Josh Allen, in his wins, had a passer rating over 100. And in his losses, had a passer rating of 81. That's Daniel Jones. So that's what you pray for. Josh Allen is off. But five of Buffalo's 12 wins, almost half, they scored 40 or more points. They have surpassed Kansas City as the best heater in the sport, the best knockout punch in the sport. At their peak, they are even more dynamic and unstoppable, mostly because Josh Allen is 6'6 and can hurdle people. He's never had an injury. He's just bigger and stronger than Patrick Mahomes. Emmanuel Sanders played with Peyton Manning in his prime. Emmanuel Sanders, maybe out of his prime, but Peyton won a Super Bowl in Denver. He played with the Big Ben near his prime. And he recalled one of his first practices with Josh Allen.
Probably like three or four practices in, it was just throw to Cole Beasley. It was probably like a 40-yard post route down the field. And most guys, like they have to put some type of air on that ball to get it there. And I mean, Josh, just a flick of the wrist. And I mean, just on a rope, just 40 yards. And I look around and I'm looking around and I'm looking at everybody, seeing if they're like surprised by it. But nobody's surprised by it but me, because everybody's kind of just used to those type of throws. And I'm like, I've been around the league a long time. That's not a normal throw. You know what I mean? And that's when I knew. I knew he was different.
I suspect we will not get a duplicate performance earlier this year, because Josh Allen, though amazing, is not quite as consistent or refined yet as Mahomes. But this is the best team in the league when they're on, and they bulldoze you and roll over you really fast. I'll have my blazing four picks in 1 hour. All right, let's shift to this. You noticed something last week in the NFL playoffs. Let's look back for a second. Who were the stars of the playoffs last week? I'm gonna throw a few names at you. Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Josh Allen. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Deebo Samuel. And Mike Evans. Oh, wait. That's because they're stars in the regular season. Nick Foles is an outlier. We don't ask our good players to perform better in the playoffs. And Michael Irvin was blasting Dak and C.D. Lamb and Zeke recently on a podcast, and here's the former Cowboy great.
Emmitt and I stood in that tunnel before everything. I'm going to tell you this. We looked at each other, and we said, we called ourselves double trouble before we hit the field. If we don't, we got no shots. period. Because we knew if we didn't show up, we got no shot. Our stars didn't show up. We had no shot. Whenever you got disorder, dysfunction. We can't have our stars putting up role player numbers like 31 yards rushing, one catch for 21 yards, 69 passer rating. And then have our role players putting up numbers like Schultz and Wilson.
Well, that's because Troy Aikman was top three in the league in his prime, and Michael Irvin was a Hall of Famer, and Emmett Smith was arguably the best running back. They also had a Hall of Fame coach elevating them. Has anybody considered that Dak, CeeDee Lamb, and Zeke aren't stars? I mean, you watched the Cowboy game last week. The best player on the field to me was Deebo Samuel. He was the most dominating athlete. If you look at the Cowboys' best players right now, are you asking CeeDee Lamb and Zeke to be something they can't be? Are you asking Dak something he can't be? Dak against playoff teams not named the Eagles this year was 1-5 with a 92 passer rating. That's Mac Jones. Zeke had two games over 100 yards rushing. He had 52 yards or fewer in 12 games, and the Cowboys have the highest rated offensive line. CeeDee Lamb disappeared at the end of the year, a seven-game stretch with no touchdowns and the drops. Why would they be stars in the playoffs? They weren't stars during the year. The best Cowboy player right now is Micah Parsons. Watch the games. He looks better than everybody else. Number two is Zach Martin. And number three is Trayvon Diggs. Those are the three best players. They're dominating players. After that, the punter and old left tackle Tyron Smith, who week to week, his health is an issue. But the top three best players, nobody disputes that. Trayvon Diggs, Micah Parsons, Zach Miller. Those are the three best players. Those are great players. Those are Hall of Fame level players. And then the next two guys, when Brad's healthy, Tyron Smith is healthy, he's very good. And, you know, it's a punter. You just don't see him a lot. We're not punting as much as we used to in the NFL. But you're asking CeeDee Lamb, who at the end of the year disappeared, to be a great player. Well, he wasn't a great player post-Thanksgiving. You're asking Zeke to be a great player. He was 3 years ago. You're asking Dak to be great against a great defense. By the way, this defense for the Niners is 3-0 against Aaron Rodgers the last several years in the playoffs. So you got to be careful about asking people to do something they don't do. I think CeeDee Lamb's potentially really good. He's not a star yet. He's just talented. He's a playmaker, but he's not a star. Dak, I've said before, he's nobody wants to acknowledge this, but he's kind of in the Kirk Cousins class. That's kind of the class we put. We don't put him in the Josh Allen class. We don't put him in the Kyler Murray dynamic class. We don't put him in Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers or Brady's class. So don't ask non-stars against better competition to dominate. There's a reason Aikman, Irvin, and Emmett did. They were as good as anybody in the world at their position in their prime with a Hall of Fame coach that created game plans to elevate each. Not only are Dak, CeeDee Lamb, and Zeke not that class, you think Mike McCarthy's elevating people? That's not what I see.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race,
A young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult 21 and older that dips, I'm going to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo Zero Pouches. Black Buffalo's Zero Pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA by American farmers for adult consumers. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. Black Buffalo Zero is all about the history and tradition of dip, but they understand the convenience and discretion modern-day consumers are looking for. Bold flavor, full pouches. Black Buffalo Zero pouches give you the versatility to consume discreetly but still keep the ritual with flavors dippers love. Mint, straight, wintergreen, peach, even blood orange, all proudly made right here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
I cannot wait for Saturday night at Lambeau Field. It's 3 degrees, 3 to 5 degrees. Ugh. Just the Packer Niners, those games, it's going to be really physical. So I said this before. I think we all know this. I think a loss for Aaron Rodgers would be pretty disastrous. Like last week I said, Matt Stafford's got to win that game. You can't be traded first round picks for Jared Goff and lose a home playoff game to a struggling team in Arizona. And Mike McCarthy pressure. I don't see a lot of pressure this weekend for anybody. I mean, if Tennessee lost, none of us can figure out how the hell they're the number one seed anyway. How'd they get here without Derrick Henry? But I do think with Aaron Rodgers, a loss, he's put himself in a pedestal. He's taken a lot of shots at people, the media, the Packer front office. A lot of people want to get their wax if he loses. He's going to get crushed if he loses. He's going to get ripped by the media, the vax crowd. He's going to get, you know, that front office in Green Bay took a lot of crap. That 30-minute soliloquy before the season when he stood at the podium and took hacks at the front office. By the way, a really good front office. An excellent drafting front office. People don't forget. He'd be 0-4 against San Francisco. But I've said I can see every upset. I can see Cincinnati against a pretty conservative Tennessee offense getting big plays out of Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase is just a game changer. He just you can't explain certain people. Ja'Marr Chase could have 200 yards receiving and you'd be like, yeah, that's what he does. And Burrow plays with a certain confidence. He's 6-7-0 in the biggest game of his career. You could see him pulling it off. Tennessee's not that lethal offensively. I could see the Rams beating the Bucs. I don't think it'll happen, but let's be honest. Right now, Tampa's offensive line, their center is hobbled and their right tackle is hobbled. Against Aaron Donald and Von Miller, Tom Brady could be in a space where they're not running the ball and he has no time to throw. And Tom has bad games. I can see Josh Allen and Buffalo just having – they already beat Kansas City once. The Green Bay-San Francisco game, I just can't see Green Bay losing. Because last week, San Francisco completely outplayed Dallas. And it was still – they almost gave it away. And San Francisco's weakness is their corners against the MVP at quarterback, probably. It just feels like it's just going to be Green Bay. But I did think – I thought to myself, okay, think about – I want to envision an upset. So here's the best I can do in an upset. San Francisco wins the toss and takes the ball. They want to play with a lead. They know playing with a lead puts more pressure on Aaron. So the trend in the NFL is give the ball up. San Francisco's on the road. No, we'll take it first. Green Bay's run defense struggles a lot. Give up like 4.5 yards a carry. San Francisco's strength is running. So San Francisco scores first. It is really cold. And it's a really physical game. And because David Bakhtiari is not 100% and is questionable to start, they get a pretty good pass rush. And Aaron takes a couple of shots, and that ground's even colder at 3 degrees. And Aaron goes to the sideline and says, let's shorten up the routes a little bit. Our offensive line's being a little compromised here. And all of a sudden, that offense is not quite as dynamic by the middle of the second quarter because they're compromised on the offensive line. And then Green Bay goes into the second half, and the game is tight, like last year against Tampa. And the Niners are playing with total house money, and they're loose. And they're in the game, and Green Bay gets a little tight. There's a ton of pressure on this team. That's why the Rams last week pretty much decided that game early. They could run the football. There was no reason for Matt Stafford to be tight. There was no reason to be tight. You go late third quarter, early fourth. Aaron's watching some of this game because Green Bay is not able to consistently stop. Their offensive line gets compromised. They kind of shorten the routes. It's a little less dynamic, and they get a little tight. That's about the only way I can see it happening. I'm not saying it's going to, but I think Aaron is aware. He did a lot of talk in this offseason and during the season. I think he realizes how big this is for him. Aaron Rodgers.
Success is often based, you know, for quarterbacks on championships won a lot of times. I think success individually is much more than that. But I understand that in our business, so much of it is focused on the wins and losses, especially in the playoffs, Super Bowl rings and all that stuff. I understand that's part of my legacy I'll be judged on when I'm done playing.
Just ask yourself, Burrow loses, really? You're outraged? Stafford loses. He won a playoff game and the toughest division in football. Brady loses. Yeah, he's won 7 Super Bowl. Only one quarterback this week loses. And you know what the lead story is. For a Saturday night game, that will lead our show Monday if Aaron loses. Like, so he knows that. He's totally, absolutely aware of it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Mic check. Mic check.
If you want exclusive insight from the biggest names in the sports game, what's good? This is national champion and former pro baller Chris Johnson. And let me tell you a little bit about my new series, KJ Live.
KJ Live is the only show featuring me going one-on-one with the brightest basketball minds on the planet to get the real.
And when I say real, I mean that real. I got legendary Hall of Famers, elite coaches, and the top basketball insiders bringing you a unique perspective on all things hoops culture that you will not find anywhere else.
To make your next move your best move.
And tap in with me on KJ Live, wherever you get your podcasts from.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HERD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult 21 and older that dips, I'm going to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo Zero Pouches. Black Buffalo's Zero Pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA by American farmers for adult consumers. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. Black Buffalo Zero is all about the history and tradition of dip, but they understand the convenience and discretion modern-day consumers are looking for. Bold flavor, full pouches. Black Buffalo Zero pouches give you the versatility to consume discreetly but still keep the ritual with flavors dippers love. Mint, straight, wintergreen, peach, even blood orange, all proudly made right here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
So anytime anything's new and unproven, we're all a little cynical. Matt Stafford, never won a playoff game, very cynical, not sure he's new. Brady's established. When he has a bad game, we're like, you know, whatever. Like, he has like three a year. So Brady had three bad games this year. Stafford had three bad games, but Stafford doesn't have the credibility. And Stafford, because he plays in the best division in football, every time he plays the Niners, it's America's game of the week. Seahawks, America's game of the week. Arizona, Sunday night football. Brady plays the Falcons twice a year. It's a 1 o'clock window game. He plays the Saints without Drew Brees. Nobody cares. Do you remember his four games against the Carolina Panthers? None stick to my brain. Because when you're successful and you've done things and you have a bad game, we don't bring the knives out for you. But Stafford, there's a lot of expectations. They both had three ugly games this year. But as they play this weekend, here's the truth. And this is Stafford against a much better division. The average game this year for Matt Stafford and Tom Brady. And remember, Stafford played six games, now especially for Niners and Arizona, much better competition. Completion percentage, both 68. Passing yards per game, well, I mean, I thought when they had an A-B and a healthy Chris Godwin, it's the best receiving core in the league, Brady throws for about 20 more yards a game. Passing touchdowns a game, they both average 2.5. Interceptions a game, rounded up, both average 1. Passer rating, Stafford slightly higher. It's the same guy. One place in a much tougher division. Same guy. Both have offensive coaches. Both have top 5 offensive lines. Both have star receivers. Mike Evans, Cooper Kupp. Both have above average tight ends. Tyler Higbee and Gronk. Both have secondaries that have been a little beat up this year, but both have, like, you know, high performers back there. One a safety for the Bucs, one a corner for the Rams. Both have very good defensive front. Vita Vea is a star, JPP, Aaron Donald, now Von Miller. It's kind of the same team. It's kind of the same game they met. Stafford outplayed him. So if Stafford comes unraveled a little this weekend, I think we'll be real. People will be punitive of their punishment of Stafford. Oh, you kissed Stafford. Stafford and Tom are the same quarterback. They average virtually the same game. It's just that, you know, you got two layups against Atlanta and two layups basically against Carolina. Like, a four layups this year. So, you know, I think Stafford has been really, really good. But that Sunday night SoFi game of the week with Tennessee, when he throws a pick six and two, I remember that game vividly. I don't remember Tom's bad games this year. If I said to you, the average fan, what were his bad games? I'd probably guess the Saints and one because he struggled against the Saints. I couldn't think of the other ones. And Tom was in that 1 o'clock window a lot for being Tom Brady. So that late window, That was Mahomes' window and Aaron's window and Stafford and the Rams' window. That was Josh Allen's window. That was the Cowboys' window. I mean, you start looking around in those late big, big games. I'm not saying Brady was, but one of the more memorable games of the year for Brady was the opener against Dallas. That's one of the more memorable games. So he doesn't have a lot of memorable division games.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
All of these odds are provided by Fox Bet Sportsbook, Joy. So are you ready for this?
I am ready for this carnival. Four.
All right, here we go.
Bengals at Titans.
I'm going to take the Titans. Cincinnati's banged up, and Mike Vrabel, like great coaches, is better off a bye. He's 4-0 as a head coach off a bye. They're 11-2 when A.J. Brown plays and 6-2 when Derrick Henry plays. Go back and look at the stats. The first 8 weeks with Derrick Henry, he was unstoppable. The Bengals' defense is banged up. Joe Burrow's the most sacked quarterback in the NFL. Six more times than any other quarterback. It's the worst O-line left in the playoffs. In the Bengals' offense, the O-line was rated 20th. I don't think you can win multiple playoff games with the worst O-line in the playoffs. As much as I love Burrow, I'll take the Titans to win and cover 28-23.
49ers at Packers.
Have no strong vibes on this. This would be my weakest pick, but I'll take the Packers minus 5.5. Za'Darius Smith may play. Jair Alexander may play. David Bakhtiari should play. Green Bay doesn't beat themselves. They were the least penalized team in the league. They had the fewest giveaways in the league. So if you don't beat yourself, I don't see Jimmy Garoppolo going to Lambeau and beating them. Since week two, Aaron Rodgers is first or second in every stat you can see for yourself in the league. Garoppolo, and I like him more than most, but in his playoff career, Jimmy Garoppolo completes 54% of his throws in the second half off script and has a 49 passer rating. He can struggle second half against great playoff teams. I'm going to take Green Bay with no conviction to win and cover 31-24.
Rams at Buccaneers.
I like the Bucs to win and cover, although I do worry about Tampa Bay's beat-up center Ryan Jensen and Tristan Wirfs right tackle. That is problematic for a quarterback that doesn't love getting hit and is not overly mobile. But the Bucs are 10-0 when they win the turnover battle, 8-0 at home this year, and Tom's been in this game so many times. Look at Tom's number in divisional round home playoff games. He's 12-1. He wins this game. He wins this game. Matthew Stafford is going to be asked to throw over 30 times. He threw 17 last week. They will not have great success running. Stafford throwing 30-35 times worries me on the road. He had 17 picks. Again, I say this with very little conviction. I really worry about Ryan Jensen being hurt, the center for Tampa. If that's the case and you go to a backup against Aaron Donald and you go to a backup with Tristan Wirfs, with Von Miller, this could be a choppy, ugly, low-scoring game, and that gives the Rams great hope. But I'll take Tampa 27-21.
Bills at Chiefs.
This would be my strongest play. Maybe I'll bet a little. I would take Kansas City minus 1.5. They're number one in scoring. Again, let's look at how Patrick Mahomes has done in this spot in his career. As a home playoff quarterback, 120 passer rating. Josh Allen tends to spike and then drop. The Bills are 0-5 in games decided by a possession. So all their wins are Mike Tyson early knockouts. You get into strategy, you could beat Tyson. You get into strategy, you want a refined, strategic close game. That's not built for Buffalo, and I don't see Kansas City getting blown out. Again, if you look at Josh Allen this year, he follows up these great games with a pullback game. Would I be shocked if he does something like hurdle players like he did last time? I would not. This would be my strongest play. Kansas City winning. I think it's high scoring, though both defenses are more than capable. I don't think it's the shootout everybody thinks. 33-27, but there'll be plenty of great defensive plays, and that's my Blazing Four. And I just took four favorites, and I've never done that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
This is very interesting. Jerry Jones owns the Dallas Cowboys. And immediately after that debacle, where they had 14 penalties, were a disorganized mess. Even the fake punt that worked was a mess. You know, Jerry immediately after the game said, you're very, very happy with the coach. Aikman's come out and ripped him since. Michael Irvin's come out and ripped him. Like, people he likes, knows, and paid, and trusts. So people in Jerry's circle are ripping him. I said the last couple days, I'm not in that circle, obviously. Jerry's really smart. The owners listen to Jerry. Jerry is influential, Jerry Jones, among owners in the NFL. So when other billionaires stop talking and listen to you and you have influence, he's a very influential guy. But I think he's getting conned here a little. I think he got conned by Mr. Analytics, who later acknowledged that he didn't really do everything he said in the interview. I think this team is a penalty-clogged mess. I think the sidelines look chaotic. He's won 61% of his games, which sounds great, except for he had Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and he has coached the best quarterback three different times in dysfunctional divisions. Favre and Rodgers were easily the best quarterbacks in a bad division, and Dak is easily the best quarterback in this division. So 61%, it's not the same. Bill Parcells has won 57%, but it's considered he's a Hall of Famer. By the way, great book written about him. Parcells is one of the great thinkers in the history of the league at coach. And so Jerry Jones, all these people now weighing in on him. He talked today, and it's going to be an interesting weekend. Here he was.
If I thought changing out men at any level would improve us, I would change it out. I've looked around. I see a lot of names, a lot of great names, a lot of great names from colleges, a lot of great names. I see them coming through. I've seen a lot of great names at various duties in the NFL come and go over the last 30 years. Bottom line is, yes, I'm very, very frustrated and upset that we've, you can call it COVID, you can call it anything, but we have used up some very talented players over the last few years.
Well, yeah. Now, Zeke is no longer a great running back. Okay, last couple years were an opportunity. Tyron Smith at left tackle, you're not getting 16, 17 games out of him. How long? Michael Gallup's now going to be gone. Amari Cooper's getting older. So now you do have Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs. So the defensive side of the ball, your stars are young, mostly young. But this is an offensive league now. And a lot, now those years where you didn't pay Dak anything, now you're paying Dak big boy money. Now Zeke is no longer a star. We say this about when Brandon Staley lost that game to the Raiders on some of that analytic stuff I don't love. The real problem with that is, beyond the loss, is you're not paying Justin Herbert anything yet. You only got two more years of that. When you're not paying your quarterback anything, those are the years you can, Jared Goff, you bring in Russell Wilson before they paid him. They were bringing in Cliff Averill, Percy Harvin. They had a stacked roster. Cleveland's not paying Baker much. Look at their roster. You can bring in Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, the right tackle from Tennessee. You can do that. John Johnson, the safety. So there's a couple of times in the NFL where you got to strike when the iron's hot. Number one is you have a quarterback who's good on a rookie deal. Justin Herbert's excellent. Joe Burrow. You're not paying him anything yet. You got to win now because you can go get free agents you can't afford when you pay him. And the second time is when you have stars, you have a veteran quarterback like a Garoppolo or a Dak, and you've got really good stars in their prime, but they're trending toward older. Right? Like they're trending, like Trey Lance, George Kittle, because he's been hurt so much, is probably moving out of his prime. Trey Lance, San Francisco is going to have a quarterback they're not paying, and George Kittle, next couple years are probably his best, last two great years. A little pressure, right? You got the combo of both. So Dak, Tyron Smith isn't the same. Zeke isn't the same. Gallup's now gone. You're not going to be able to keep that tight end. Schultz, he's going to go to the free agent market. The last couple years, now Dak was hurt obviously last year, but this was a big year. By the way, the NFC East is still terrible. Like this is Stafford's first year with the Rams. If you look around, I mean, Aaron Rodgers and Brady were always going to be formidable, but there's arguments to be made this was a really big year. This offense next year, they're going to lose their top tight end. Gallup's not back. I think they bring back Amari, but we'll see. and Zeke's probably gone. Offensive line's getting outside of Zach Martin. It's getting older. So I think Jerry's seeing that. Just stay away from Lincoln Riley. Hire anybody else you want. Just stay away from him. Here's the other thing. So the Raiders, Josh McDaniels is up for the job with the Raiders. So he went to Denver. I would never let him touch personnel. He loved Tebow. So if I can figure out Tebow doesn't work in the NFL and you couldn't, I don't want you touching personnel. And I think the Broncos GM is great. So I think the Broncos job has a great roster, but no quarterback. I think the Raiders have a good roster, but an excellent quarterback. But with Josh McDaniel, if you're a Raider fan, he's a little like Lane Kiffin. They're very similar. One now in college flourishing, one now in the NFL flourishing. If you look at them, sometimes they look a little bit alike. They had a disastrous NFL head coaching stint, Denver and the Raiders. They've got, I would say, a little off-putting personality to some. They're offensive-minded. Their dads were kind of coaching legends. Josh's dad's like a coaching legend, I think, in Ohio. Both of them played college football. Josh was a wide receiver. Lane was a quarterback at Fresno State. They left a head coaching job poorly. Remember, Lane bailed on Tennessee after about 45 minutes. And McDaniels agreed to the job with the Colts, then backed out. Bad look. That scares athletic directors and owners. They work with football geniuses that really rehabilitated their image. I mean, after that Colts thing, you go back to New England, Josh has resurrected his reputation. Saban resurrected Lane's. And they were part of dynasties in the early 2000s. Josh was, I think, a quarterback coach with Belichick when he was a kid. And, you know, Lane was part of that USC dynasty with he and Pete Carroll and Sark and all those guys. So it's very similar in both. And there's also something about both that sometimes would make an athletic director in college or an owner or GM a little skittish, which is their personality. Are they all in? Are they all in? Because with Lane, you think Ole Miss is the last gig? I don't. And with Josh, like, he can always go back to Belichick. That we don't. He can get any OC job he wants the minute he feels like that I'm not getting supported. So I would have no problem hiring him. I honestly do think that Rich Bisaccia, I think I would give him the job. Rich Bisaccia did three things that were really impressive as an interim coach. And a lot of interim coaches, as we told you yesterday, work. Marv Levy, Marty Schottenheimer, Don Coryell. There's been a lot of successes. Even Detroit Lions had an interim coach, Wayne Fonts, who had years and years of success. Rich Bisaccia with the Raiders stabilized a franchise that was a hot mess in week 9 or 10. Stabilized it immediately the following week. Not only won games, won big games, overtime, situational games. And Derek Carr and Max Crosby, their two foundational stars, love him. So I think I would go there. But I do think with Lane Kiffin or Josh McDaniel, they're kind of the same thing. You know they're brilliant offensively. That is, without Lane is a brilliant, brilliant play designer, play caller. Josh McDaniels is, I mean, look what he did with Mac Jones. I mean, Mac Jones this year hit an athletic ceiling, but was shockingly good by October. Like, he got out of the bad throw department with below average weapons. One tight end, Hunter Henry, that was dependable. So, I don't know. He's certainly hireable, I'll say that, in a year of a lot of really strong candidates. Of course, the Texans won't hire any of them, but there's a lot of strong candidates.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Why don't you get out here, Mark Sanchez. Fox Sports NFL analyst, very exciting. That wasn't much applause. That was kind of a weak effort, I thought. That wasn't really very substantial.
How we doing?
So here's what's interesting. So I want to talk for a second about what worries me about Brady. Center Ryan Jensen's hurt.
Oh, yeah.
And Tristan Wirfs hurt. So you've been in this league Brady when nuts. You go into big games, and it could have been DeBrickashaw Ferguson, whoever, and you're thinking to yourself, my best tackle's not available, and my center's hurt. Would you, Mark, do you think right now Tampa's going, they know if Tristan Wirfs hasn't practiced, are they saying to themselves, Von Miller, are they building a game plan differently because of their O-line injuries?
I think that has to factor in. I don't think it's you say this all the time. It's not everything, but it's a major something. I think you got to spread them out, go a little bit of empty, use some of your bigger personnel to establish the run game. I think ball's got to come out of Tom's hand immediately, like he loves to do. Backs out of the backfield. Ronald Jones is back. Leonard Fournette. I'd expect each of those guys to have, you know, anywhere from 3 to 6 targets in the first half apiece, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Spread them out and get the ball out fast. I think when they do decide to run, go big personnel and then hit your hardcore play action where he's back to the defense, you know, full sell out, low pad level up front, and then try and take your shots on some, you know, intermediate crossers, those, you know, 12-yard sting routes, we used to call them, kind of stuff where it looks like, you know, you get in these big tight formations, bring in an extra offensive lineman, you run the receiver right at the safety, like he's going to go take his head off and block in the run game, and then he just slams on the brakes, makes a left-hand turn, and Brady just kind of dumps it on him.
Yeah.
And the backers kind of go with the flow of the run. They suck up towards the line of scrimmage, boom, and you hit it right between them, right over the top of them. But this isn't going to be their traditional stand back, you know, Tom patting the ball 1, 2, 3. That ball is coming out fast.
Yeah.
Just because it's too difficult, right? If he starts getting hit and everybody's like, well, if you get pressure on Tom Brady, he's very pedestrian. He looks human again.
Yeah.
Well, that's any quarterback. I don't care if it's Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, me. It doesn't matter. You start hitting the quarterback, your eyes start to drop. And now you start seeing these guys. You see a little more color coming at you, different uniforms, you're thinking about moving.
Right.
You get happy feet in the pocket. It happens to everybody. Yeah. So they can hit him a couple times early. Look out.
I thought Stafford had a good year. We did this. We took the average Matt Stafford game this year, and we took the average Brady game.
Uh-huh.
It's virtually the same. The difference is
– take that, Joy.
The difference is when Tom has a stinker, we're not cynical. When Matt did – because remember that division, he was in a lot of standalone games. I mean, the Falcons, Bucks ain't on TV. It's in the 1 o'clock window. Falcons, Carolina.
Right.
So a lot of Matt's games were Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, American Game of the Week, Niners, Seahawks, Arizona. So a couple of his struggle games, they all standalone games. Yep. You know how it is. If you star on a playoff game in Monday Night Football, you get more marketing options.
Oh, no doubt.
So if you look at Brady and Stafford, their average
games. That's really interesting.
Okay, so here's my thing.
But Kyler's in that category too.
Although he had a different post-Thanksgiving. He was high.
Right, but I'm saying every big game he had with a national audience, the Thursday night game, he threw a pick to lose the game. The Monday night game against the Rams, that was rough. Everybody saw that.
Right.
Everybody saw the Thursday night one. He had one other primetime game, I feel like. He had 3 total this year, and all 3 of them were.
So when you look at that, does that surprise you that Stafford was every bit Brady this year?
In some ways, I think because of the cynicism and because, you know, when people come down on Matt Stafford, it's like a ton of bricks, man. Like they're just, oh, see, we told
never
you.
Never won a playoff
game.
Yeah,
he's never done this. He's never done that. Well, all right, hold on now. Joy, put him in the bubble wrap. but, you know, I'm partial to Matt. Not quite as bad as you are with USC, but, you know, I like me some Matt Stafford. I think he's one of the most talented guys that's been on the field playing the position in a long time. But, you know, it just shows you, like, where he's been and consistency. And, sure, he had a little dip with a couple, you know, pick sixes, and that was the news for, like, it felt like a month. And it's just like he couldn't get out of this black cloud and, oh, man, he's horrible. And he did fine. He played right through it. And he's, you know, is he dealing with injuries? Is he not? Don't ask him because he's not going to tell you. But just like everybody, everybody's a little banged up, and he's still doing it. So, I think there's something to be said for this season and losing Cam Akers, making it work, getting them to where they need to be. And I think last game, I think Sean McVay did an excellent job of, in some ways, protecting Matt from Matt at times.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, they didn't have to throw it a lot. The run game was really rocking.
Yeah.
Keep going. Don't mess with it. Like, give him, you know, it's 3rd and long. Let's not even mess with it right now. Let's keep his confidence high. Let's keep him rolling. It's his first potential playoff win. Let's just get the notch on his belt, and then we'll move forward. And he's going to need a big one this weekend.
Yeah. So it's interesting. When I go back to your career, the games that stand out to me, the win in Foxborough, the win in San Diego, you were often the road quarterback because you're in a division with New England.
Mm-hmm.
So you're the wild card.
Oh, yeah.
But you have been in the Jimmy Garoppolo situation. So you're the dog. You're on the road.
Yep.
You're led by a feisty defense in a run game. and you're the young quarterback. And I remember that San Diego game when you guys needed a foot. And Damian Woody, the lead blocker.
Everybody in the stadium knew. Everybody on TV watching knew exactly where I was going to go.
So the San Diego's offense was great and Brady, but you went in like the Niners this weekend, where a little more physical team, you needed to control the clock. And take me to what it's like when you go in and face a legend. They're the favorites. It could be a Brady. It could be a Chargers where, Jets cut. There's no way. And is there like a brotherhood? Is it kind of more fun than being a home favorite at times?
Well, I wouldn't know what being the home favorite's like, but it was, it did give you a little extra juice. It did, you know, give you that like Rocky underdog Karate Kid kind of like, all right, you're right. Maybe we can't do it. Let's just play the game and we'll see, you know? So going out on the field at the divisional game and seeing, you know, New England already advertising for the NFC champion or the AFC championship game tickets or whatever, like next week's tickets are on sale, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, whoa, wait, what? You know, you just immediately triggered, you know, because you're so competitive. You're so, you know, you get a little angry. You get tired of answering all the questions all week. Like, do you guys even stand a chance? David and Goliath. Like, you hear that so much. And you have to remind people, like, David actually won. So let's stop using that. it's kind of stupid. But, you know, it wears on you. It eats at you. But it kind of hardens and calluses your team. And you form this incredible bond. Just, you know what the bus ride's going to be like. It's going to be a little tense. You're going to hear people's music, like, real loud in their headsets. So you can kind of hear it outside. You know, you're going to see the fans going in, just talking a little extra smack to you and, oh, you guys don't stand a chance. You shouldn't be here. That kind of, it makes it fun. It makes it really fun. And you, you learn a lot about the people that are with you in times like that, because you know, you're going to get their best shot early and you got to withstand everything. You got to withstand the crowd. It's, you know, 53 versus the world. It feels like you're going in there on this like Navy SEAL team mission and you got an objective. And let's go steal this win and laugh on the way out.
So it's interesting. I was saying Buffalo has the best fastball in the sport. They blew out 10 teams this year. And they shut out two. Yep. There's only eight
shutouts. When they're on, they're
on. They're completely on. And Kansas City had that for about 3 years. So it's interesting because I feel like as great as Aaron is, I feel like we have the two physical exceptions in the world. Josh and Patrick are like different.
Oh yeah,
it's just different. I think what I really like about Josh Allen, they both have a similar background. Doubted by a lot, a little wild, can still mechanically kind of go sideways. So much talent, you have to almost harness it.
Correct.
But you know, it's like it's almost like a stand-up comedy. Whether it was Lenny Bruce or Richard Pryor. You had to let him experiment because the greatest jokes came from some of the biggest I was watching a special with Richard Pryor the other day. It's like he would go up and bomb on purpose just to find the joke.
Yep.
And with Josh Allen, would it be hard to coach him knowing you can't take away his fastball? How do you coach that?
Well, there's a knack to it. And I think putting too much in his head would be detrimental. Like, you don't want a guy like that overthinking situations. You want to keep it simple and give them maybe like two or three things to really focus on, but you don't want it to be this pre-snap, you know, algorithm that he's got to solve like a Brady or a Manning. That's not to say he's not as good as them or can't be as good as them. It's just he has a different way of playing. He's more of a post-snap player, like Brett Favre-ish, you know,
that's
those kind of guys.
That's a good way to put it, a post-snap player.
Yeah, like you don't want to bog him down because if he's thinking too much, he's not going to be Josh that we know, and he's not going to just play. But through experience, through film study, through, you know, just his maturation, you got to remind him, as this play extends, your IQ has to just skyrocket. You have to get smarter as this play gets longer because we can't afford to give these balls away in the playoffs right now. And he's kind of learned that in stages, right? Because they took it to the championship game last year, I believe. The year before was Houston, at Houston, where he's a little reckless with the football running around, and they kind of made it to the playoffs. They made it to the dance, and, like, we're excited that they had their tuxedo on, you know?
Right.
And then the next year, it was like, okay, we won a game. Okay, we've beaten New England. Okay, we won the division. This is our division. Now let's go run this thing. Let's go make a deep run. Let's get to that Super Bowl experience and then roll the dice there. So I feel like they've kind of done it in the right steps and stages. But for Josh, the most important thing is just don't overload his plate. Hey, it's single high, go attack him outside. Two high safeties, be ready to check it down or get to a run. Don't overcomplicate it. They're going to blitz you if you're late. If you can block it up and you feel great about it, cool. Plenty of time on the clock, on the play clock, great. Go block it up. If not, throw it right where they blitz you. Just throw it right at them. Find Cole Beasley. Find Tones. You have answers to everything. Don't overcomplicate it.
That's great advice. So we tend to think that college football, that's the development league. And then you go to the NFL, and you just got to be good. And it's like, no, players get better in the league. Because yeah. The coaching's generally, no doubt. You were an exception where you had NFL coaches in college. That's rare. Most guys go to the NFL, and that's the best coach by far they've had. So when I look at Joe Burrow, I honestly feel like Joe Burrow in week three and Joe Burrow today, he's literally developed in the season to a different level player.
And it's off the charts. You know, he's so far ahead of this learning curve, it seems like. You know, and so people are like, well, if he doesn't win this game this week, well, they're in this game this week because of Joe. So let's not get ahead of ourselves. Like, he's just fine. And his ascension is going to be rapid. So if they win this weekend, I mean, they're already in a stratosphere that they didn't even, maybe in their building, they might have thought, maybe, if things go perfect, like, wow, that could really, we could really go here. But nobody else did. So they're just fine where they're at. It's going to take a lot, though, this weekend. I mean, with Henry back and all that going on, he's just going to have to take care of that football like everybody. I mean, it's the same core formula, right? You got to run the ball well. You got to take care of the football, special teams you need to play, control the clock. But Joe Burrow's maturation is happening right in front of us. And he's barely played over a rookie season, right? He only played half he's in his second year. Yeah, barely. He's played, what, 20 games? 22 games? Something like that? So where he's at is light years ahead of most players. So now it's keep him healthy because he had the knee injury, surround him with talent, continue to surround him with talent, bolster that defense, and let him play. Just keep letting him get that Rolodex of looks from defenses so he can just go back to it. Like Tom Brady, he knows he's run every play versus just about every defense and every stunt and every front and every blitz that you've seen.
Yeah.
So now it's just, okay, you want to hit me with that? Boom, I have answers for everything.
Do you think when you they always talk about there's regular season, there's playoffs, and then like you get to this round, like Brady's 12-1 in this round. Like it's like, all right, he doesn't obviously. Do you think guys like give me your nervousness? Because I think even Aaron Rodgers this weekend thinks I'm a home favorite off a bye. I got to win this thing. I think Joe Buck before a World Series knows. I know this is my 23rd. I got to be good.
Yeah.
Take me to the. And maybe nervous is the wrong. You were succeeding. Mm-hmm. You've done it back-to-back years. You were a playoff team. What is it like before a game of this size?
Yeah, I think one of the most important things from the outside, it's easy to say like, yeah, of course he's nervous or of course he's thinking about this, that, or the other. Like, to be completely honest with you, I didn't understand like spreads and betting. I remember getting booed after a game that we won late as we're coming off the field and this fan's just – I mean, wearing me out. Like, you're a bum. And I'm looking at Coach Kavanaugh. I'm like, what the hell is that all about? I was like, we just came back and won the game. He goes, I know. He said, you don't understand this yet, and that's good, but you didn't cover. So that guy probably lost a lot of money, right? So I didn't think about the spread. I didn't think about, like, home this, road dog, whatever. It was just, you're, like, in this bubble of, okay, yeah, I'm a little nervous on maybe Sunday night, Monday, knowing who we're going to play. Like, damn. Whew, that's a really good defense. All right, we're going to have a plan for so-and-so. We got to watch out for this guy at corner. Of course, they like to blitz, blah, blah, blah. But once you get into the meetings, it's okay, what's the plan? Cool, what's my agenda? Where do I go? Like, your world becomes smaller and smaller and smaller until you finally take the first snap, and all I cared about on the first snap or really in the first quarter, I want to go 2-for-2. Just give me 2-for-2 completions. I need to get hit. I need to get knocked down. After that, let's rock. I'm good. I can handle everything after that. And then coaches would always remind you in a big game like that, something bad is going to happen. At some point, it's going to happen. Early, late, whatever. Just get up and we'll figure it out. We'll regroup on the sidelines. Don't worry about it at the time. We'll figure it out but something's going to come that you didn't expect. A blitz, a pressure, a look, somebody's going to fall down, you're going to get hit in the back of the head, and just we'll respond. That's all you got to worry about. And so until those things happen, you just start to narrow your world and narrow your focus till you get to the game. And on the outside, I mean, you got to understand there's 10 other guys in the huddle, 11 guys on defense, you know, 50 plus on the sidelines, thousands in the stands, millions watching, and nothing happens till the quarterback hikes the ball. That's a lot of pressure, but you don't think about that. You just give me the damn ball because I want to make the play, you know? So it's weird how it works, but those guys know what to do, and they just narrow their focus.
And you were lining up, and as you looked up, it said, don't forget, buy next week's playoff tickets for the Patriots. That
I
is
like,
crazy.
Whoa, that's not cool. I was so mad. I was so mad.
Great seeing you, man.
Good to see you guys.
Awesome stuff.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.